c'était l'hiver. La neige est tombée, blanche, immaculée, sur notre maison. Et tous réunis autour du grand feu, on attend minuit pour chanter joyeux.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 for one of my favorite segments of the year. John Sauce, this is the third time we've done this. I can't believe it. Our friend from Jam Productions, a marketing director. You always bring in your Christmas presents or Christmas gifts to us every year. And this year we have a special guest we're going to get to in a little bit. Poet you met.
Right.
Dawi Opara. From the west side of Chicago, but now you live in Pullman, I believe, right?
Pullman, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what we're going to do here is, you kind of mapped it out. I want to just real briefly tell the listeners your journey through collecting Christmas music. We may cover some stuff we've covered in years past, but when did this start for you, John?
It started in when I was in college, and I worked at a retail store down in Lansing, Illinois, and they played Christmas music around the clock during the Christmas season, and they had a total of 5 8-tracks that they would rotate, one of which was a really good Elvis Christmas record. So that's kind of what got me hooked on it, was this one specific song in the Elvis 8-track.
And you never got tired of it? They played it over
and over. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still love it.
Now, before we get too far away, what was that we introduced the segment with?
Yeah, so that was, once I started to collect records, I would go around town to different used record stores, and this is one that I found at Secondhand Tunes. It's a guy named Sacha Distel, who in his early career was like a really hardcore serious jazz guitarist, but he became a crooner later, and this is from his crooner period. And it just goes to show there's more than one way to do Jingle Bells.
Where's he? When did that come out? Where's he from?
He's French, and this is like 1958 or 59, I think, somewhere in that period.
It's vinyl.
Yeah,
it's vinyl.
Yeah,
and you say, now I didn't know this about your journey. You started. You started with mail order stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, how did that work? You just
well, there was a time when record stores wouldn't carry much Christmas music beyond the standards, just stuff that they knew would sell. But I discovered that you could find a lot more interesting Christmas records, more obscure artists through mail order catalogs, and the best one was called Roundup.
Oh, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
That Rounder Records had a role in that, but they carried independent releases, so I could get old soul records, jazz, bluegrass, old-timey stuff. It was all there.
Dawi, we are going to talk a little bit about Christmas being celebrated year-round, but John and I have a bit where every time I'm in a record store when I'm traveling, year-round, I look Christmas records for John, and there's a couple places in Memphis. I'll be there in July or something, and I'll ask, "Where's the Christmas records?" And they get mad. They kind of grumble at me. Some places keep them out year round, but some places don't. I mean, they're in the basement.
Yeah.
And they go, "We don't have our Christmas records out."
You know? Well, I've been to some of those places before where I have to tell the guy that I'll give you $10 just to let me into the basement. If I don't buy anything, you still get the $10.
Yeah,
and then they'll do it.
Don't you have a great... he's been on the show, our friend at Dave's Records. Didn't you go record digging, crate digging in his basement?
Yeah, so when that store was called Secondhand Tunes, and Dave was the clerk, I would go in November, and he'd let me go down in the basement, he'd give me a stool, and it's like a real basement, like an old, musty basement. And I'd just sit down there for 2 or 3 hours looking through everything he had, and there was always... back then, there was always great discoveries.
So then when did you make the segue from the mail order kind of really getting deep into the record stores? Roughly when was that?
Probably in my mid-20s when I kind of just ran out of product that I could find in the mail order. And I knew I had to kind of just get out there in the world and start digging. So I'd say in my mid-20s, I was doing it, you know, throughout the year. If I traveled, I would go. If I was in New Orleans, I'd go to a record store in New Orleans. If I was in Colorado, I'd go to record stores and my vacations.
And how many, I know we've asked you this before, how many pieces do you have? Christmas pieces.
Yeah. I know that if we're talking about physical pieces, albums, 45s, tapes, it's probably more than 2,000. But now I also have MP3s and, you know, Spotify playlists and things. So it's probably a pretty ridiculous number at this point.
Is there anything you're looking for that you haven't found? I get so frustrated because I'll go on these and I call him or I send him a picture and he, you know, I've got that.
This happens. Yeah, this happens constantly. You think that you found something awesome that no one else has, and I probably have two copies of it.
You don't have the Kalamazoo Men's Chorus that I brought you tonight. I bet
no,
you don't have it.
Yeah. No, that's a new one in my collection. I'll thank you later when I've had a chance to listen to it.
But is there something you're looking for?
There's not, but what happens is if I'm searching around for something, like I found this just 2 weeks ago at Logan Records. I found a 45 by the, it said OC, what's it? OSOC, which I later found out is the original Sons of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a Chicago gospel group.
We may have time to play a little bit of that later.
But that's something where I found it. It was in really bad shape, so I then searched it online, found it online, and then I put on YouTube. And then it would say, oh, wait, if you like that, check this out, right. You know, on the sidebar. So I found some other things that I didn't even know existed. So that's kind of how the discovery process works online.
Why are you so committed to this? What do you get out of it?
Well, it's almost like, for me, it's a soundtrack that I will play only for a few weeks. Like, I've auditioned songs throughout the year just to see if they're any good, but I don't sit around and listen to Christmas records in my house in July.
Yeah.
I just do it for a few weeks. It's a soundtrack, and it also lets me block out all the terrible, dreadful Christmas songs that are out there, because 99% of what's out there is really unlistenable. It makes me want to run screaming from, you know, the store because it's just so awful. But so I can make my own thing, and then that puts me in my place, and I feel like this is my holiday vibe if I create my own playlists.
Wow. So we're going to talk, we're going to play a little bit of the Freddie Cole thing. This will lead up to how you met our guest here. But you go to the Maxwell Street Flea Market then.
Right.
And tell us about this. We're going to play a little bit before we take the break, how you came across this Freddie Cole track and then how you met Dawi.
Yeah, so there's a vendor, one of my favorite vendors at the Maxwell Street Market is a guy named Dave Petty. And I like Dave because he's got really good books. He's always got great books for sale, good prices. He's a very cool guy, and he's always playing classic jazz at his booth. So I'm just drawn to him. And I found in a box under a table in a bunch of stuff this song.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Freddie Cole, and it's called It's Christmas Time.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, sweetheart.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong bell.
Christmas bells are ringing. The world is all aglow. Voices singing while you're riding through the snow. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
This most festive of seasons. Will someone please explain its reasons? I mean, for 11 months we go about our daily routine. And on that 12th month, we've got the damn nerve to dream of peace on earth and goodwill towards men as we hustle about committing our daily sins. I mean, we make December a month of joyous celebration. while we struggle with visions of human liberation. With renewed intensity, we give with the sincerest of sympathy. We get involved with the helpless, the homeless, those stuck in the mire of deprivation. Will this one day of giving change their situation? Is this the only time we give with an abundance of charity when we know that these needs are not a once-a-year rarity? With hyper enthusiasm, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Even those we dislike, we treat nice. We grin, pretend, with motions of gifts, hugs, and kissing, while love for humanity. Now that's what's missing. I mean, we sing songs, shape chimes, and ring bells, and next month we tell those that we've helped go straight to hell. Through years of changing truths and shifting dates, celebration of his birth is no longer an act of faith. Some scholars say his birth is spring. So where did they get this wintertime thing? But not to get involved in religion, because his beliefs are simply blind faith in decisions. You see, Christmas is mass media marketing manipulation, guise for financial libations, the crowning heights of capitalism, the last quarterly incentive of commercialism. So whatever ideology you embrace, this Christmas insanity is a slap in the face. And I pray and I hope that this wave of humanity lasts for more than just a day. And it's like Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to us fools. Thank you.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 with record collector, Nocturnal Journal contributor John Soss and Chicago poet Dawid O'Para. So, Dawid, tell us, that was called Merry Christmas. So tell us what that poem was about and what motivated you to write it.
Well, basically, I wrote the poem. This poem was probably maybe 15, 20 years old, and I thought about all the sad thing that happens on Christmas that we never talk about, and it seems to have lost its meaning, so I decided to write this particular poem about how I saw Christmas.
And you met John at the flea market.
At the flea market.
Talk about that. What were you doing at the flea market?
Selling records, LPs, CDs, talking crazy, and he walked up and we started a conversation. I told him I was a poet, and we've been kicking it ever since, you know.
And so, John, that was a Bill Withers track that we backed that up with. Talk about that track and how it ties into the poem.
Well, that's what that song is what I thought of as soon as Dawid started, because Dawid started to read his poem to me from memory at the market, because I had told him that a song I just played for him, which is a Christmas song, put him in the Christmas spirit, right. And he said no. And then he started to just instantly recite the poem. And I thought the Bill Withers track is really about the same thing, which is let us love one another all year and not just at Christmas. He put, Bill Withers had a different spin on it, but it's the same message. And I said to him, I'm going to play the Bill Withers tune next time I see you. So now this is the next time I've seen him, and we did that.
Christmas, it's complex. I mean, how much of it is of the moment? How much of it is for memory? And everybody's memories are all different. I mean, tell us about where you grew up on the West Side.
I'm from the West Side, and it's kind of funny because I remember as a kid, I'm 60 years plus, but I remember as a kid, as soon as it was like November the 1st, we'd start saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, and all that love and warmth was out, and then they started making it politically correct to say this and say that. So it took a whole new different spin, and they got Black Fridays and markdowns, and it became just a big commercial hoo-ha about trying to go out into the black instead of the red at the end of the year. So that's kind of
what was Christmas like for you? I mean,
we had the food, the whole nine yards. I mean, we did everything that people normally do for the holiday, you know, what my parents did. And as I became a little bit older and started doing a little reading and saw what Christmas really meant, you know, I kind of steered away from it. And what's so funny, I still did the same thing for my children, because at the same time, I understand there's a lot of emotional baggage that comes with Christmas. And a lot of people do drastic things on Christmas because they can't be a part of that whole brouhaha.
Yeah, so, it is. It's pretty wild.
But people never talk about that. They always talk about the good things. There's a lot of terrible things happening during Christmas.
Was there music part of the landscape when you were growing up?
The music was beautiful. You know, I mean, you can understand that it didn't have all the decadent things in it. So the music is much more. It was much more secular, as if you want to use the word. You're more secular, you know, if you want to use that word. So, yeah.
Have you read that poem at other places?
I try to read it once a year or twice a year. And people usually think I'm going in one direction, and when they see where I'm going, they kind of leave. I kind of leave them with their mouth open because they didn't expect I would say the things that I say about Christmas because I didn't uphold it, you know.
Now, are you on my notes here, do you do regular readings? I have a Thursday night residency at 2337 South Michigan Avenue.
Right, at Magruder's. It's a blues joint, free to get in. Come by every Thursday and check it out. Great music, great food, poetry.
And you do readings there?
Yes, I do.
What's some of your other stuff? I mean, I
talk about everything, anything from political things. I have Ralph Ellingson. I talk about the situation of the day, Trayvon Williams. I just write about everything, you know, and put a spin on it, you know. People have often asked me, what do I write? Odes, proses, this, that. I simply write. You call it what you want to call it. You read it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. So that's pretty much what I do.
You like Iceberg Slim, right?
Yeah, how about you? Dig that. Yes. Actually, one of my great books, seriously, Man Child in the Promised Land, Malcolm X, and Trick Baby.
Yeah.
You know, they really opened my eyes up. So, yeah, great writer.
John, you and I have talked about this on the air and off the air. I mean, how does Christmas music play into the climate we're in right now? And I got to tell you, you know, sometimes it's a whole other show on social media, but sometimes you just open it up in the morning, social media, and it's just depressing. There's so much stuff going on, so much weird static and stuff. Yeah. So how does this Christmas thing fall into the world we're living in right now in the United States?
Well, I'm not sure if this is how we talked about it last year, because things were kind of dire 12 months ago. And when
I think they're worse now.
Yeah, and I think part of my attitude is that we can either let that kind of stuff beat us down 365 days a year, or maybe only 364. And for one day, we can just sort of break away and try to have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, W?
I don't know, man. I think we have a lot of social issues that we need to attack.
Yeah.
A lot of social issues that we need to attack. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I mean, every day should be Merry Christmas, not just one. So,
yeah. I mean, how do you accomplish that?
Well, I think one day a year is better than zero.
Yeah.
I concur. Yeah. I concur.
So we agree on that.
Yeah. We agree.
Yeah. What else have you found at the flea market?
Well, a lot of what Dave and Dowie have, they've got the best records, and it's a lot of good classic jazz, blues. I bought John Langford a reggae sampler a couple weeks ago from Dowie for $1.
Yeah.
And it's a mixed bag of stuff, and it's always worth looking through. It's usually something different every week. Yeah. So,
were you at the other flea market, or have you always been at this one?
No, only this one.
I don't think I've ever been to this one. I was at the old Maxwell Street.
Oh, that was the flea market.
Yeah.
That was the flea market.
Yeah. So what's that like? I mean, I've never been to it. So what are the customers like? What are the clients like? What are they looking for?
At the old Maxwell Street, you know, anything can happen. Everything can happen. This Maxwell Street is mostly, I call it a Hispanic eatery. You know, you still get a few deals, but it's mostly a lot of Spanish people and a lot of Spanish vendors. So it's kind of cool, but it's not like the old Maxwell Street where, I mean, whatever you wanted. And I do mean whatever you wanted. It could be found or not, come back next week.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And when I first started going to Maxwell Street, the food choices were you know, a little more diverse.
Yeah.
Now I think either 95% of it or 100% of it is Mexican food, but exactly. It's really, really good Mexican food.
Yeah. How often do you go down there, John?
In the summer, I go almost every week. I think that, like, tomorrow I'm going to play it by ear. If it's going to
be nice.
It's going to be 40 and cloudy. That's doable.
Yeah.
There's a vendor that sells really good hot cinnamon tea if you want something to kind of warm you up. Yeah, it's great.
Do you just do that, or you go to like Kane County Flea Market? Or
I used to go to Kane County Flea Market, but I don't really like that scene anymore. Plus, it's a haul to go out there.
It is.
You know?
Dawee, where can people find you? Will you be there tomorrow?
Yes, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. Every Sunday, I'm there with Dave. You know, selling my wares, my books, my poetry, haikus, things of that nature. DVDs, videos of my performances. So, yeah, I'll be there.
Is there an area that people can find you at?
Well, I can give you my website. They can contact
me. Yeah, okay, what's your website?
It's DAWIOP, as in Paul, ARA, 73@gmail.com. Anything you need, you can reach me at that particular address.
Yeah, and their booth, Maxwell Street, it's on Des Plaines.
Yeah.
And it's the southernmost part of it is Taylor Street. And then it goes north from there until they run out of guys who want to set up a booth. So,
right.
Okay, we got to take a break. We're going to come back with just a little bit more Christmas music. Then we're going to have Michael McDermott. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about how we can make this 365-day-a-year celebration.
So, all right.
Okay, John. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, our little annual Christmas celebration with John Soss, record collector from Jam Productions, and our special guest in studio, Dawee O'Para, Chicago poet. Tell us about that track, John. You touched on it earlier in the segment.
Yeah, there's one of the best newer record stores in Chicago is called Logan Records or Logan Hardware Records. They go by two names. And they had this year the best selection of Christmas 45s that I think I've seen outside of Beverly Records down south.
Uh-huh.
And I found that record. It just said OSOC. And it said 1972, and it was called Christmas Comes Up Once a Year. And I played it on their turntable, but it was really, really scratchy. So I had to research it, and I found it on YouTube, of all places. Couldn't find any info, but got a clean version of the recording. And they start out singing White Christmas in that snippet we heard, but it's actually kind of a medley, and it's an old gospel group.
But you don't know if they're from Chicago or not?
I couldn't find... I did a little bit of research. I didn't dig really deep, but I couldn't find anything on them.
In your travels, I know you travel, do you find, are there any cities that are stronger for Christmas or / gospel music? I've told you about that store in Detroit, all those 45s not far from the market there, and they've some of them aren't in the best condition, yeah. But they've got a lot of great gospel records. But is there any one area of the country you find that...
Well, when I would travel, I would always carve out time to hit a record store, and I would research in advance where they were. I would often call people I knew at radio stations and find out from them where I should go. And it's tough. I mean, it's just like shoveling through. You can shovel through 999 records and not find anything good. And then maybe if you stick around long enough, you might find one good one. It's like that. But I've done it. I mean, I've done this in New Orleans, in upstate New York, in Montana, in Colorado, wherever I might be going.
Chicago. I mean, how's the scene in Chicago for Chicago listeners? I mean, for finding.
Logan is great. Beverly Rare Records is really good down on the south side. Out of the Past on the west side of Chicago is a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave's Records up in Lakeview. Really good. Yeah.
What's the dumbest Christmas song you've ever heard? You've got in your collection. I won't say I'm not going to say the worst, but
there's that category is so big, you can't just pick one. Because people would make any topic into a Christmas record thinking that somehow they might become famous and like it would catch fire. But the topics of Santa Claus from outer space, or you know, Danny Thomas. Remember the Danny Thomas show? He put a single out, and it was a very, very depressing song. I think it was called, like, Why Do I Always Cry at Christmas? You know, just there's awful, awful things out there, but they're worth collecting anyhow.
You never get tired of this, do you?
No, because it's that sense of discovery that, you know, that one we just heard.
Yeah.
I never heard that before 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, that's great. It's like going to Maxwell Street. You go every week, you're going to find something good. Maybe not if you go one time, but if you go week after week, you're going to find stuff.
Dawi, come on up to the mic. Do you see your poem was about Christmas 365 days a year? And John, too, I mean, when you're down at Maxwell Street, do you see a change, a shift in people's attitudes at Christmas time?
Not really. Not really?
Not
like it used to be, no.
Interesting. What do you mean, not like it used to be?
I mean, there was a time when, like I say, in November, there was that warmth. Everybody was getting ready for Christmas, the food, the gifts. And it was like, and when you spoke to people, Happy Christmas, Merry New Year. You know, it was always happening. It's not that flavor anymore.
You know, it was more organic then, probably.
Yeah.
Came from somewhere else. I mean, I saw it this year. I might have even told you that I did see Christmas stuff up right after Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I maybe, I don't know when you kick in with all this. I think you have a set boundary.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a guy who's going to be playing Christmas stuff early November.
No, you can't do it until after Thanksgiving.
Now, why do you say that?
Because that's just the right thing to do.
I've always said there's going to be one of these radio stations that, you know, they're going to do like Christmas year-round. These guys start earlier and earlier.
That's the difference, though. That's about commerce.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's the only reason those radio stations do that is just to make money because they can get a lot more listeners, and that means they can jack up their ad rates and they can make more revenue. That's the only reason that happens. They don't care about Christmas.
That's the American way.
And that ties in with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell us where people can find you again.
Every Thursday you can find me at Magruder's. That's 2337 South Michigan, third floor. It's a lovely place. Blues, zero to get in, and great poetry.
And what are your hours at the market?
We start at about 6 in the morning and go until about 3 o'clock.
6 in the morning till 3 o'clock.
Right.
How many items do you guys have?
A plethora, quite a few.
Yeah. And how much of it's music related?
I usually deal with just the music, LPs, DVDs, CDs, that kind of thing, as well as my poetry, so I deal with that. Dave does the Clippers and the variety of, you name it, he has it. So
That's great. Keeps
it kind of interesting.
That's great. This is the type of stuff we like to do on the show, so thanks for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for finding him, John.
Yeah, it just worked out.
Yeah. And do you still do mixtapes for people? You put together a little something for this show and stuff. You used to do that.
Every year I make a mix of new songs I've discovered or obscure songs that I think are worth hearing. And for about 20 years, I would make a lot of copies and pass them out to friends. And then for the last 10 years, so this is my 30th year doing it, I still make one, but I'm the only one who gets it. It's like the Howard Hughes of Christmas mixes.
Well, it'd be great. You're right. You guys are great. If we get this going around 365 days a year, I don't know how idealistic it is, but it would be a better place. So thank you all for coming down.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. And thanks, Dawi. I want to thank our friend Shirley in Orland Park, who's listening, a big Christmas music fan. And we're going to be back after these commercial breaks with Michael McDermott on WGN.